Welcome to ACC Nation. Our special guest on this episode of the podcast is Virginia Tech aficionado Matthew, who is a columnist and co-host of the AllSportsDiscussion.com podcast. Matthew, thank you for joining us on ACC Nation to share your thoughts and observations on the Hokies.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're glad you're here. Let's jump feet first into what seems to be the buzz of just about every college basketball program these days. Can we keep our coach? Williams has a proven track record of building programs. He'd be a good addition for quite a few schools. So the question, right up front, is Buzz Williams going anywhere soon?
You know, I promised I'd use a Bagman reference on this podcast, right? My buddy out there, Lonely Tailgater, follow him on Twitter, at Lonely Tailgater. Unless Texas A&M calls, you know, Buzz is from Texas. They have a lot of cash, right? They probably have one of the largest endowments in the country of any university, and that includes Ivy League schools. If they come and the Bagman come with a substantial amount of cash, you know, the lure of going home to Texas, I think, would be pretty big for Buzz. But unless that happens, I don't think that he's going to leave Virginia Tech. I think that that's the one program that could get him to move the needle. You know what I mean? He likes Blacksburg. He's treated very well by Blacksburg. He has a good relationship with the athletic director. He has a good relationship with the president. The fan base loves him. That would be the one thing I think that would get Buzz to move.
All right, so let's say that he is sticking around for next year. He ends up getting a contract extension, whatever, and he's back. There's certainly plenty of reasons why he'd want to return. I mean, he's got a team that's been consistently in the top 10 to 15 all season long. Let's take a look at that roster. What does he need and that he may not have now for next year?
Well, he needs a few big bodies. I mean, I think that that's been the issue with Tech for a while, right? You know, at least from my perspective, you look at Kadeem C, for example. They missed on him twice. If he gets a big body or two, maybe from the graduate transfer market, he's going to be in good shape. I mean, the guards, as you guys know, have never been a problem for Buzz. He's always had the best guards in the ACC, right? I mean, or at least some of the best guards in the ACC. Guards that can play on any team in the conference in the ACC. That's not really an issue there for Buzz. I mean, there's a good amount of talent that's coming back. You've got Wabisa Beattie, who's coming back. I'm pretty sure Linders Nolly's going to play next year. P.J. Horn's going to get a lot of minutes. There's a kid coming in from Ball 6 here in the D.C. area, Anthony Harris, who's got a lot of high major offers. He's probably going to get a lot of playing time. Like I was saying earlier, I think you may have to troll the graduate scene for a graduate transfer big man. Goldkovin coming in from Maryland. He picked VT over others. He's a small forward spot. I don't think Kerry Blackshear is going to leave. You know, so there are some good pieces that are coming back next year. And I think as you guys have followed Virginia Tech, Buzz doesn't have any problem playing freshmen, right? He'll play them right away. So as you go into next year, probably wasn't going to have as high a ceiling as it was supposed to have this year. You know, so that, as I said, there's some good pieces coming back. That's kind of the way I see next year. I mean, obviously, when you lose four players that have a lot of playing time there, right? Ahmed Hill, Justin Robinson, these are some players that, you know, obviously are very seasoned and experienced. But, you know, there's a good nucleus of players coming back next year where I feel Tech's still in pretty good shape.
Well, you did kind of answer my next question, so I'm going to kind of spin it in a different direction here. So, you look at Nikhil Alexander Walker. Is it more than likely a good chance he's going pro after this year?
Let me turn this back on you guys. Do you think he should go pro after what you've seen in the last couple months?
I mean,
here's what I would say to that, Will. If you're guaranteed to go in the first two rounds or as high as he's projected in a lot of mock drafts, you have to go, right? Because the cash will be there. You have to go. You can't not go. But the guy I've seen play in the last couple of months probably needs to bulk up a lot more as he goes to the hoop because he's not as big as he should be. He needs to play better defense. I saw a guy play against Pitt yesterday he played against a very scrappy team that was playing for their coach, but Pitt's the worst team in the ACC, and he didn't have a good night versus them. And I think that he could use another year in college, Will, but that's just my opinion on that. I mean, if the money's there, you have to go because it guarantees your future. Do I think he could use a year in college? You bet your ass I do, because I'm not sure that he's necessarily ready for that big step. So, I mean, I think both things can be true.
Let's look a little more specifically at a couple of these players who probably, well, definitely in a couple of cases are not going to be there. Outlaw, Hill, Robinson, of course, Alexander Walker. And, you know, I guess the question that I want to get into with them and with Kerry Blackshear, who is a redshirt junior, you know, the potential for him dipping his toes into, you know, the draft. So we've got that core, and that's a pretty significant number of really contributing players there.
Yeah.
So let's say they all go, they're all gone. You know, if they do and it works out for them, that's fantastic. Who is behind them or coming in from the standpoint of recruiting that will take those roles and be a contributor in again, young team, really young team, which is a good thing for Buzz Williams because, man, the future looks bright.
Well, first of all, I don't think Kerry's going pro. There's nothing that I've seen out there at all from anyone that says that he's going pro. So I think he's going to be back next year. And I think when he comes back next year, he's probably going to be, well, you guys keep track of this as well as we do. He's probably going to be second team all ACC status mm-hmm. preseason next year if he comes back, right? Mm-hmm. Because he is clearly one of the most highly skilled big men in the ACC. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, his only issue is foul trouble.
Exactly.
That's what really hinders him. And we saw it against Pitt yesterday. He played amazing because he wasn't in foul trouble.
Right. And I think he's improved on that a lot this year, actually. I don't think he's...
I would agree.
I don't think he's really gotten into much, followed out too many times this year.
He's gotten better.
You know what I mean? Or limited his effectiveness as much.
Here's the one thing that I see with Blackshear that always disturbs me. And the foul trouble, obviously, is the one thing that pops up. But it seems like he's not always totally focused on his game. I don't know how to put that into...
I'm serious. I was going to say, from what perspective?
Well, it seems like he gets off track, especially on offense. He gets a little wild, and then the defensive side of it, obviously, the fouling is a lack of focus. Sometimes he kind of goes in and out of that for me. And every time I watch him, I'm going, well, when he's on his game, boy, it's a wonderful thing to watch. But then you just sort of see him slide out of his game and get reckless. And if he can clean that up, man, he becomes not only a great asset for the Hokies, but then he becomes somebody who the folks in the NBA start looking at and going, yeah, okay.
Well, I think I've seen a lot of improvement this year personally. That's just my personal opinion because he hasn't fouled out very much for one. He's kind of playing within himself. I mean, if you find anybody who's a better passing center in the ACC, let me know, because I think he's probably one of the top two or three in the conference with that. He hasn't fouled out. He hasn't, you know, this year, guys, he hasn't fouled out that much. He's lived in ACC play. He's pretty much been on the court. And I think it's probably, you know, it's been more because he's had, I mean, you look at who's sidelined this year for Virginia Tech. PJ Horn just finally got back on the court. He was out hurt. You've got Landers Nolly. He hasn't played all year. Chris Clark hasn't played all year.
Well, let's take it from right there. Let's jump into Clark, because you know with Blackshear we could literally beat a dead horse here. But
I know he's done well this year, I think.
I think he's improved significantly, and he's fun to watch. I like him as a player, but let's move on to Clark, because that has a big question mark, a huge question mark. And I'm not close enough to what's going on at Virginia Tech to really hear or see enough of what's going on, so that's why we have you. So tell us what's going on with Clark. What's the big picture?
I really don't have much to say there. It's a student code contact violation, and his career's done.
And that's it.
That's it.
Okay.
Sometimes I can be short and sweet here too with that.
Sometimes that's the best direction to go. All right. So that takes care of that, and we'll Will, it's all yours.
Yep. All right, so I want to talk about another player. You mentioned him a little bit earlier, Landers Nolly. He's sitting out this season for what is, you know, the NCAA being the NCAA.
It's really weird, isn't it? I can talk about this for hours. Anyway, I know you don't have hours.
Yeah, so just tell us what he'll bring to the team next year.
Well, okay, so can I just say quickly, I mean, apparently the NCAA thought he had too high of an ACT score, Will, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's like, so you're bringing this up now, and we've had all this trash happen to North Carolina for years, right? And I'm not an NCAA compliance expert, but I think if you're in good standing in an institution for a year, then you're probably going to be fine and be playing next year, and all indications are that his grades are at least working out, you know, and they can't really talk about anything like that either, right? Because that's their Student Privacy Act, federal law related to academic records and things like that. He has a chance to be that good wingman in Virginia Tech's offense, and he has some size to him too, with 6'7", you know, 220 or something like that. He's going to be a pretty good player for Duke. He started out pretty good this year, and I thought that he was going to get a lot of playing time this year, and he's certainly going to be a major piece next year at Tech.
All right, so we had one Isaiah Wilkins graduate out of the state of Virginia last year, and then another one came in, no relation, this year to Blacksburg. And I feel like his game has been, you know, he stepped up his game of late. I was looking at the Georgia Tech game, and he had, you know, he got extended playing time in that game and had one of the better outputs of his career. And how has he progressed? He's obviously been a really good rebounder, but how's his game progressed overall?
Well, I mean, he's not afraid to take shots. One, he's coming along just like you said. I think he probably needs to drop a few more pounds to be, you know, to make sure that he is more effective on the court. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks, Will, that thought he was going to redshirt this year, but due to Virginia Tech's limited numbers out there on the, you know, on their team in terms of number of players that are on the rotation, he's out there playing right now. So you're right. I think he's doing well. But I think that, you know, in order to get better, he'll just have to, you know, he'll have to spend another season in the weight room. He'll have to spend another season taking shots. But he's going to be a guy who's going to be a quality contributor for Tech next year.
All right, let's go into the class of 2019 real quick. You'd mentioned the centerpiece of that recruiting class, and Anthony Harris, the guy from up around your area there. Do you think it's possible he even starts next year?
I think there's a very good chance, yes. Yes, I do. Like, when you lose a player like Justin Robinson, right? I mean, somebody's going to have to come in there and man the point guard position. I think there's a very good chance. You know, if not at the beginning of the season, maybe by the end, because that guy can score too. I mean, that's the big thing with him. And right now, you're looking at Wabi Sabidi, and he's really no offensive threat right now for Tech. I mean, that's what I'm getting when I watch him a little bit. I mean, he is one of the best on-the-ball defenders for Tech, and Beattie, he isn't the offensive threat that a Buzz Williams offense needs. So, yeah, him, and then, of course, there's the Turkish player, right, from Montgomery County in it was Goldkvin, and I think that he's got a lot of hype, and he's going to get a chance to play. He picked VT over Maryland and others. So I think he's going to be legit too. And so, I mean, those are some of the guys I think that you're going to see get some major playing time coming right away.
Being short a key player, as you mentioned, is kind of forcing the Hokies to find another way to win. They are slowly but surely doing that after having a little stumble. Is the team that we see now and that we're kind of anticipating will be there, will they make a dent in the ACC tournament?
Well, there's some talk here. Now, let's probably preface this. I think that Justin Robinson may be back by then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it takes about, 4 to 6 weeks to recover from what they call it, what they think he has a toe injury. If he comes back, I think this could be a second weekend NCAA team potentially, right? There's some twos that can be had. So this team can do well in the ACC tournament with a healthy Jesse Robinson. I don't think there's any question about that. But if he doesn't come back, you're going to see Tech struggle in a lot of games like they did versus Pitt, like they did versus, at least for a while, versus GT. I mean, I think you can throw that NC State game out of the window, right? Because that is probably – that's the worst I've seen a team play in the modern shot clock era. I mean, everybody was making jokes like, did Virginia and Virginia Tech change jerseys that week? I mean, I'm being a little facetious here when I say that, but, you know, NC State couldn't hit the broadside of the barn when they were playing Tech that week. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of – you're in a situation here where if he doesn't come back, you'll see Tech struggle in a lot of games, the rest of the way. Now, I'll be fair here. Tech's defense this year is the best I've seen during Buzz's tenure, right? So they're able to stay in games, but they need Justin Robinson in there to run the offense better, if that makes sense.
Well, so let's move forward from the ACC tournament. The Hokies have been an easy pick for bracketologists. And with good reason. And I think it will continue to be there. Going forward into the NCAA, how far do you think this team can realistically go into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think this team is, like I was saying earlier, is the second weekend NCAA team, potentially, if Justin Robinson comes back. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just what I think. If he doesn't come back, this team will probably have an early exit.
So, first round?
Yeah.
Okay. Robinson.
I'm kind of thinking that. With Robinson, this team can do some damage because he changed the dynamic of him playing that position. I mean, Will, you've seen him play a lot. I mean, the dynamic of him completely changes the offense. It's just unbelievable to me what his makeup is. I mean, you guys remember, did you guys watch that Syracuse game?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
That was so many, like, I was watching a game, didn't realize he had Robinson had passed Bimbo Coles up for the most assists in school history.
Well, not only that, but I mean, he was 9 of 10 from 3 that night. So, I mean, he broke the school record for that.
He could have shot one from UVA's campus and made it.
Yeah, I mean, what you guys have seen a player when a bucket looks the size of a freaking, of a tub in your house or, that's what it was like for him that night. But he changes the impact of the game with how he plays. And that's Jeff and I are talking about this. I mean, there are some twos out there that could be had if he comes back, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I would much rather see VT come in at a 7-10 slot than an 8-9, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see where that ends up here before long, because it's rapidly approaching.
I was happy to see Virginia Tech get a, it would have been very easy to see the Hokies, get out of this week with two losses or even one, and they turned out pretty well this week with Justin out. So I mean, things seem to be still on track for a potential good run. It's not. Let's be fair, too. It's not as good as when this year started, guys. Everybody had Virginia Tech is probably having their best roster since 1985 with Chris Clark, with Landers Nolly, with all these, with all these players coming, with Kadeem C, with all these potential players coming back. This was supposed to be one of the best rosters since 1985 for Virginia Tech, and it hasn't turned out the way that people wanted, but yet you still see Buzz is still finding ways to win, which
exactly.
is masterful for him.
Yep.
Because he's found ways to win and motivated the guys to play hard to get where they're at. So, I mean, it's been a pretty impressive coaching job for him.
I certainly would be right there with you. Buzz Williams is a heck of a coach and can get the best out of his players. And he has done a phenomenal job considering what you just laid out there, everything that he had going in and lost and still is doing well. So that's very impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
Let's move on to something here. A broader picture here. I want to talk about the overall health of Virginia Tech sports under Whit Babcock. We talk about Whit Babcock being the ultimate AD in our eyes. Very impressive what he has done with Virginia Tech's athletic program. Any surprises that you know of or have heard of that are coming down the road, such as adding on facilities, coaching changeovers, anything along that? And just give us an overall perspective of how you feel the health and well-being of Virginia Tech Hokies sports is.
Well, I mean, the facilities are already top-notch, as you guys know. I mean, they're doing some renovations to the track facility, and they keep doing some renovations for baseball because baseball was one of the worst in the ACC. And now it's going to come up to be one of the, you know, a very top one with their new clubhouse coming in. You know, so they're making, it's the little things that they're doing for the non-revenue sports that are really making a mark now. They're having, they have a training table facility for all their athletes. So it's one of the sports nutritional facilities that all of them will go to for, you know, for daily eating. I mean, you know how it is with athletes now. They're monitoring every freaking calorie that they take in for overall performance on the athletic field. So, I mean, very good. I mean, we already knew that basketball and football had some of the best facilities in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Hey, Matthew, before you go any further with that, since you were talking about monitoring calories and stuff, can we send you there in regard to that the topic we were discussing earlier? Maybe they can wean you off.
That's right, the diet do. Yeah. I'm trying. You know, my sister has been trying Coca-Cola Life. You know, so I just can't find it in the D.C. area. Have you guys ever had Coca-Cola Life?
Yeah.
I have not, but I see it in the stores.
I don't drink very many, depending on where you're from, sodas, pops, whatever. So.
Yeah, since we have two people in different parts of the country who say it differently, you know, got to appease the masses. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Matthew knows this. I think they say pop in North Dakota, too.
Yeah.
They do, too. Yeah. Right, they sure do. Yeah.
Well, having lived out in Illinois, I get that. So, anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. So, continue with the thought there, the thought of what's going on at Virginia Tech with their athletic program.
I mean, you guys kind of hit the mark. I mean, it's not – I mean, look, the overall health of – Virginia Tech's athletic programs is one of the best in the ACC. You see that performance in the Director's Cup, and Virginia Tech had its highest finish last year, and it's probably going to be on a track for a higher finish this year. I mean, my mind hasn't changed that Virginia Tech. I mean, a part of having good athletic programs, guys, right, is you have to have good support at the very top. And Virginia Tech made a great hire as university president and made a great AD hire, who subsequently made great football and great hoops hires. And a great women's hire at that. We have a good wrestling coach. We have a good baseball coach. We have good track coaches. We're going to have a good softball coach come in. The men's soccer program has turned around. The women's soccer is very good. I mean, we're doing well really on all cylinders. And I think that has everything to do with having good leadership starting at the very top, the president and the AD, right? I mean, this is a good time to be a Virginia Tech sports fan. And a good time to be an alumnus of the university.
All right, so let's move over to football for a minute here. You know, it wasn't the best season last year. You know, they barely made it to a bowl. I mean, yeah, obviously the highlight was beating Virginia once again, which we won't get into. But now you've had we've had enough time to digest what happened last year. And what are your observations about what happened and what could be better? And will it be fixed this season?
Wow, that's a long thing. But like, let's go back here, right? I mean, you know, every team has losses to graduation. Every team has losses to, you know, to NFL draft. But I mean, you look in April, right? You had Tim Settle, Tremaine Edmonds, Terrell Edmonds, Greg Stroman, Andrew Matua Puaka, Brandon Fasson. These people all went to the NFL. Right. I mean, it was primarily NFL draft losses. And these were some really good players. Right. Then you had that co-defensive coordinator, Galen Scott, resigned after he had, we'll just call it, some misuse of recruiting trips that became public. Right. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You had Adonis Alexander, right, who was declared academically ineligible and declared for the NFL supplemental draft. You had Jeremy Webb. Terry's Achilles during the offseason. That's a defensive back, right? So these are two major losses in the secondary that you thought you were going to have. Mook Reynolds was dismissed from the team. He was the outside linebacker. Defensive tackle Cam Good was released from his scholarship to transfer elsewhere. Travon Hill got booted off the team. And then you saw Josh Jackson break his leg during the year. I was at the ODU game when I watched that. That's a lot for a team that, you know, you thought you were going to have some players that you weren't going to have. And if you're not Clemson, right, and you're an ACC team, most people don't have depth to recover from that. Would you guys agree? Clemson seems to be the only one that has that.
They're the only team that could replace a four-star with a four-star right now. Let's be real here.
Exactly. And so when you have all that, I think that Virginia Tech did pretty well this mean, this was, by experience perspective, at least on the defense, this was one of the youngest defenses, maybe the youngest defense that Bud Foster's ever had. And so I think that, you know, I was happy actually to see them get to a bowl. And I just want to say too, first, that, I mean, I think there's been a lot of Hokie fans that have kind of jumped off the ledge a little bit about last year. I've seen, what do you see? I mean, the first year, the Fuente has 10 wins, has that big win in the bowl game versus Arkansas, has 9 wins the following year, a big win over West Virginia, right? You know, most people expected probably a little bit of turbulence, I think, in the first year, and they're a little shocked because they're seeing it in the third year. You know what I mean? I mean, that's usually what happens, that sort of thing. So I think that you saw a lot of young players get some valuable playing time, and we'll have to see how that happens. But I'm not so much, after what I told you about this, I think there'd be a lot of other teams who'd have turbulence too.
And speaking of that turbulence, we saw a lot of players enter the transfer portal. I know Deshaun McLeese entered, but then came back. He decided to stay in school. I mean, it made for great clickbait, especially in Charlottesville. But I was of the opinion that people were overreacting to this. I laid it out on a previous podcast that a lot of those players were grad transferring out, that they were looking for playing time elsewhere that they just weren't going to get in Blacksburg. And do you think people were overreacting? People have the right to be concerned.
I think you nailed it, Clay. When you had the clickbait thing, yeah, you freaking nailed it there. I mean, I didn't think Hendon Hooker was ever really going to play at Tech. Rico Carney wasn't going to get any play before, you know, before Rivers or Holyfield. He wasn't going to get any, he wasn't going to get any playing time at that linebacker. Josh Jackson, do I wish he kind of would have stayed? Yeah. Sean Savoy wasn't going to, I mean, you look at the roster that's coming in next year of wide receivers. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but you guys look at this as well as I do. Virginia Tech next year maybe have the second best receiver set of receivers in the ACC coming in.
You could certainly make that argument. You talk about Savoy for a second here. I mean, his playing time went down quite a bit this year. I mean, he was a big help his freshman year, but I think he had maybe half or a third of his catches this year that he had the previous year. And it seemed like it was just going to keep going down. So I get why he transferred.
Guys, I was just looking at who's coming back next year. I mean, you've got Hezekiah Grimsley, Phil Patterson, Trey Turner, Damon Hazleton.
Hazleton, that's the guy.
These are some players that are coming back next year for Tech. And so towards your question, well, I mean, some of these guys weren't going to get playing time. Okay, so there were probably two that I was a teeny bit disappointed about. Eric Kuma, I was a little bit disappointed with that he was leaving, you know, I mean, as a fan, because he is a big physical receiver that can get you catches. You know, I get why he's leaving. Maybe he thinks he's just going to get a primary role somewhere else. Same thing with Chris Cunningham. In fact, I guess he just visited Louisville recently, which I think he would fit in pretty well in a Satterfield offense. I'm pretty certain of that. These guys were pretty much all Beamer recruits that were coming in. So maybe they just felt that they weren't going to get a lot of playing time with Fuente recruits coming in. Maybe that's not necessarily true. And it's kind of like what you were saying. I mean, like, most of them have their degrees. They're in the grad transfer. And they're just looking for playing time elsewhere. And because Fuente has shown that he's played the Beamer recruits, right, so it can't necessarily be that either. So, I mean, I don't think it's really a huge thing there, I guess.
A question that I always hear, will the Hokies ever be a national championship team in football? But I would like to hear from you what you think could make that happen.
I think it's much more difficult now than it is then, because Beamer, back in the 2004-2005 timeframe, Virginia Tech had an iron curtain around the 757. Nobody got out of there. Because there's more information out there on how to recruit, you know, where the best recruits are and recruiting the best players, it's much harder for teams to get recruits now. Here's what I'd say about that. I mean, how many years later is that here? We're almost 15 years later. I'll say it's 15 years later. The Hokies are the type of team that can probably make a CFB playoff spot run every 4 years. Like, you've already seen VT making some strides and improving recruiting in the trenches, right? Offensive linemen and things like that. That's where I think VT is at right now. Because if you see Clemson and Florida State get to their top strides in recruiting, it's hard to compete with that. It was pretty weird for me. I mean, Jeff recently had an article about this at All Sports Discussion about how you've seen, I was kind of chuckling when I read it this morning, the what is it called? The FBI index?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was basically every team in the SEC that was in the top 20. And it's based on recruiting rankings, right? Recruiting is not a science, right? I mean, you can have a highly rated recruiting class and not have a good overall team. I mean, we've seen that happen on several occasions at LSU. And... You know, so
subtle.
Hey, I'm just letting you know, I picked Troy to beat them 2 years ago. Yes, that was me picking Troy to beat LSU. Okay.
And I think that was more because Troy was a good team than it was LSU was, you know, not a great team.
That was a 33-point dog, man. I deserve to be credit for that.
Okay. Credit.
33-point dog, and they won. But, I mean, to answer your question about the Hokies, I mean, they can make a run at a CFB playoff spot probably every 3 to 4 years. And I think that starts in improving the trenches, right? That's when Clemson really started to win. We can make arguments that Clemson started winning because they had, you know, the right skill players at QB, at running back, at wide receiver. And that's certainly important to have good players at those skill positions, but you win when you win up front on the offensive and defensive line. And that's where you're going to see VT make a big, big, big moves in the next 2 years, I think. And that's, if you win up front, then you can win on the offensive side and on the defensive side. And like I'm saying, I think that's probably a more realistic spot for the Hokies now than it was then, because recruiting for players is much more intense now. Mm-hmm.
It makes a whole lot of sense in basically laying it out like that. Makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm especially there with you when it comes down to building your line. If you don't have good offensive linemen and defensive linemen, it doesn't make any difference how talented you are elsewhere, because your quarterback is going to be biting it, or your defensive backs are going to be run over. Let's move on to the Hokies offense here. Let's talk about quarterback. You brought up Josh Jackson and his moving on. It's kind of disappointing from one perspective, but at the same time, sort of see that as being maybe a good thing for Virginia Tech. We'll see what you think a little further on that. Let's talk about, is anyone a lock? Ryan Willis, Quincy Patterson, what are your thoughts there?
Well, I got to think Ryan Willis is going to be the number one guy coming into the season. People are going to want to see QP3, Quincy Patterson III, because of his physical attributes, right? I mean, he is a big, big man. But I've got to think that Ryan Willis is going to be the number one guy coming in.
Well, yeah, Patterson only played in 3 games last year, so technically he's still eligible to redshirt. So this will be his freshman season coming up.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to think that, like I said, I got to think that Ryan Willis is the number one guy coming into the season. You know, so we probably go from that approach there, and then we'll see what happens from there. But, you know, I know the clamoring's going to happen, right, for QP3. I mean, once Ryan Willis has some bad plays, you'll hear some Hokie fans say, hey, put him in, yeah. Put him in. You got the big stud back there. But, you know, he's going to come in. I've got to think, because he knows the offense, he'll come in right away. You know, I think he'll be pegged as the starter coming in.
Now let's look at the rest of the offense. So we talked about the receivers earlier. I mean, Damon Hazleton's going to be the guy coming back. And Trey Turner, who had a nice year last year as a freshman, who probably passed up Kuma on the depth chart anyway. So there's an explanation as to why Kuma probably left. But running back, you know, it'll be a little bit of a question mark. I mean, McLeese is back, obviously, but they lose Peoples to graduation. The players that did play last year running back don't have a ton of experience. So what can you tell us about that position and also the offensive line?
I think Holston will also give Tech, I guess, that 1-2 punch at running back. It's weird because I've heard some talk about throwing Devon Hunter in at running back, and I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I know you guys know about him. He was that ballyhooed 4-star athlete cornerback from Virginia Beach that came in to Tech, and he hasn't quite found himself on the field yet. Now, he did take a red shirt last year personally for himself, and the same thing happened with Ricky Walker. I know you guys are both familiar with defensive lineman Ricky Walker. Things turned out well for him. Sometimes it takes guys maybe a year or two to get the, you know, to get the mental aspects down of the game before they become really productive. Honestly, guys, I'm not really worried about the offense. That's probably where Virginia Tech seems to be best. If you're looking at the offensive line and the offense overall, Virginia Tech played a lot of guys on that offensive line. They rotate guys in and out on that offensive line. And they've got to replace some players coming in, but I mean, you're still going to see, you're still going to see some guys, you know, some guys that had some significant playing time come in, you know, with Christian, you know, Darisaw, Tyrell Smith. I mean, you're going to see some, you're still going to see some pretty good players come in. And I wouldn't doubt if you actually saw a couple of those freshmen push for a spot. I mean, Vice Vance has done a good job there at Tech in terms of bringing in some, you know, shoring up that front line for Virginia Tech. So, I mean, I think you're going to be sitting pretty good. I think the offense is not really the component I'm worried about at Virginia Tech. Dalton Keene is sitting pretty good at tight end and maybe on some all ACC preseason teams. I mean, they're sitting pretty good, I think, on the offense.
So let's go back to defense. You know, you talked about it earlier. This is one of the younger units in the league who came on over the rest of the season. You talk about some of their leading tacklers or sophomores and freshmen last year. And
yeah,
it felt like as the latter half of the season, it felt like Dax Holifield kind of became the de facto leader of that defense. Am I wrong there?
You know, he certainly became one of the young leaders on the offense, right? I mean, clearly Reggie Floyd is a leader back there at safety and is one of the top safeties in the ACC. And so, but you're absolutely right about the important role that he played. I mean, I guess I'm going to be interested to see what comes in. And there's a lot of JUCOs that came in, transfers that came in this year for Virginia Tech. I mean, if I say this here, I don't think Virginia Tech is in any problem in terms of its linebacker slots. I mean, you've got Dylan Rivers, you know, you've got Richard Ashby, you've got Alan Tisdale. I mean, Virginia Tech has some very good linebackers coming in, very good. It's very deep at the linebacker slot. So I'm not really, you know, and of course you've mentioned that Dax Holifield. I mean, I'm not worried about those slots. What I'm more interested in seeing is how Virginia Tech's going to be on the defensive line, because Virginia Tech, like, no, I may sound like a broken record here, right? But you win it in the trenches, and Virginia Tech's always been good when it has a good defensive line. You know, people that can put constant pressure on the quarterback, players that cause nightmares for the opposing team with their blitzes and things like that. And that's because of my lack of familiarity, honestly, with JUCOs and things like that. Virginia Tech hasn't been a team that's done a lot of JUCO transfers. And this is a new thing for me to watch at Virginia Tech, right? I realize they're trying to get some bodies in there, right? And these are some big bodies coming in. And you hope with JUCOs that maybe one or two of them, you know, can make an instant impact and things like that based on their time in the weight room and work like that. But I don't know what I'm getting with them. We did speak with Dwight Vick, and that's right, the cousin of Michael Vick. And Dwight Vick played offensive lineman at Virginia Tech in the late 80s, early 90s. He said that he's excited about these defensive tackles that are coming in. So, I mean, for what that's worth, I guess that maybe that's worth something, right? Because he knows his football. He played football at Tech. If in short, I guess I'd probably say that, you know, keep an eye on what's going on up front, because if those guys work out up front on the defensive line, then I think that you're set here in a situation where Virginia Tech sets itself up well this year, because the schedule is what Virginia Tech needs for a young team that's still improving.
All right, Matthew, before we let you go, how can people follow you on social media?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at @HokieSmash_ASD. Again, that's @HokieSmash_ASD. You can follow our site Twitter account at @AllSportsDACC. And we have, gosh, guys, I think we may be hitting our 275th episode this weekend of the podcast. It's pretty crazy. I think Will's been on a lot of those. I'm about to negotiate a couple appearances there next.
I was going to say, I think I've been on like maybe 10 to 15 times over the years.
Maybe more than that. Maybe 25.
You could be right. Who knows?
The Frozen Four stuff. Frozen Four is coming up in about 2 weeks. Well, I'll be asking you about that.
Yes.
And the Virginia and the Virginia podcast, the Virginia football podcast.
Preseason
coming up here. All of those are coming right up. So, and then of course, you know, our buddy at Talking ATC Sports, that's Jeffrey Fan. You know, I blog a lot. You know, I've been blogging with him for several years about ACC sports, and he kind of gives me a he gives me an open lane on whatever I want to blog about. I've been blogging a lot about Title IX issues, you know, sexual assault, how institutions deal with sexual assaults at all sports discussion. And, you know, occasionally, you know, I am from Fargo, right? I am from Fargo, North Dakota. You're going to see me occasionally talk about North Dakota State. You're going to occasionally see me talk about North Dakota. At North Dakota State, had a heartbreaker yesterday. South Dakota State guy hits a half-court shot.
Yes.
Yeah, and but North Dakota State blows a 17-point lead. Of course, it's the number two spot on ESPN's top SC's top 10, right? But anyway, it was pretty fun, pretty interesting to see. But yeah, but those are obviously where some of my loyalties lie. But again, you can follow me on that at @HokieSmash_ASD. Our site Twitter account is at @AllSportsDACC. You can follow Jeffrey Fan on Twitter at @TalkingACCSports.
From AllSportsDiscussion.com, columnist and co-host of their podcast. Matthew, thanks for giving us some extra insight and great insight into the Hokies. We appreciate you being on the podcast and being our special guest on this episode. Thank you, sir, and we hope you'll join us again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, bud.
Look for the guys on Twitter. Will is at Will's World, MN. Xavion at XAYVEON. And I'm at ACC The Q. You'll find ACC Nation on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Where else? ACC Nation. And also on Facebook. We're at ACC Nation Sports. Until next time.